Good morning. We are so happy that you are joining us live from here at The Way, wherever you're watching this morning, if it's from your phone or your TV. We're just so grateful that we have technology that you can join us this morning. So if you're in a room full of your family, go ahead and give them an elbow bump, or if you're really just wild and living large this morning, give them a fist bump. But we're so happy to have you. I do want to acknowledge that if you are home by yourself watching this morning, text a friend, give them a phone call. We just want you to know that we are praying for you and with you, and we hope that you can feel connected with us this morning. So for those of you watching from home who've maybe never been to The Way before, I am Nicole Burdess. I'm on staff here at The Way. I'm the communications director. So while we've all been transitioning into this different time that we're living in, I've been sending out communications through email and Facebook. So if you're not connected and you want to be, just to know what's going on and how we're kind of changing things up, you can email me at nicole@theway146, and you're also welcome to send a message through our Facebook page, which is Newton Church of the Way, but it's just The Way on Facebook. So this morning, I don't have a ton of announcements for you other than everything, classes and activities here at The Way are on hold until further notice. So you'll see we're changing things up a little bit and doing them a little bit differently just so that we can intentionally stay connected, which is a great way to just sit and be and listen to what God has to say. So this morning on my drive here, I was thinking about what is something relevant that I could share with you since I don't have a ton of things to talk about. And on the radio came a Lauren Daigle song called SOS. And for me, it's very relevant. And I'm sure for some of you, as your circumstances are changing at home, maybe you're working from home and you're taking care of your kids, or you're working from home and you're alone, God hears our SOS. And I just want to read a couple of these verses from this song, because to me, it pierced me right here. It reminded me that I'm not alone. And it says, I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send down an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true. I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor. It was just a good reminder that God hears me, and he hears my SOS. He sees our struggles. He knows how things are changing. But it's this obedience piece for me where I have to press in and I have to lean in to God's truth and his goodness. So during this time of uncertainty and often chaos that's thrown at us, I just want to urge you to get connected with God. And in your prayer time and with your brothers and sisters, reach out, ask for prayer. Text somebody you know. Maybe just offer a simple hello. How are you doing? And with that, I want to turn this over to our worship team and to Al, and just want to offer you Sunday morning blessings. And we're here with you. We're praying for you. If you need anything at any time, please reach out to Pastor Steve, anybody on staff, if you need a prayer request, and we will make sure that we get it out. So God bless you.
Amen. Would you all pray with me, please? Father God, we are in places and circumstances that are foreign to us. And in that, we don't always know what to do. Lord, we as a people, we love each other. We want to interact with each other, but right now we're being asked to isolate from each other. Lord, I thank you for technology that allows us to be together. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you unify the church. The church is not a building. The church is the body of your believers. And we're still connected. We're still united. So my prayer, Lord, is that you would use this time to comfort us, to strengthen us, and in some ways, perhaps, Lord, to mobilize us as your people. Lord, I bind in your name, Lord Jesus, the spirit of anxiety. I bind the spirit of fear, all in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. A spirit of discouragement. Lord, we cast those things out in your name. We leave them to you to judge and to deal with. Lord, I pray in your name, Lord Jesus, just a spirit of joy, a spirit of unity, a spirit of blessing. I pray, Lord, that everybody that's tuning into this message or maybe even watching it later, Lord, that they would be strengthened, they would be encouraged, and we would all strive to be your people in the midst of a world that is looking for answers. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray this all in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in. Obviously, things have changed. Let me start by saying some things that have not changed. It's still Lent. We're still in this season, and I'm struck by the notion that Lent is a season of recalibration. We've been saying it the whole time as we began. This is a time to kind of recalibrate our understanding of the gospel and understand just what exactly it is that we believe. And none of that has changed. If anything, I want to make a little bit of an argument here today that it's maybe accelerated this idea of examining what we truly believe. I'm going to talk a little bit today. I'm hoping that I can encourage you. I'm hoping that I can say some things. But one of the things I'm going to talk about is this mindset that we should have right now. I'm hoping that this will be a mindset that will help you as we kind of deal with circumstances. We had an old saying, and I'm going to talk a little bit about being a good soldier for Christ. But when I was in the military, I've told you this story before, but when I went into basic training, the Gulf War had just begun. And it was interesting, the tone that was present in basic training since the country was at war. Everything was just a little bit more serious. Everything had just a little bit more, all the metaphors had a little bit more relevancy in that moment. And I remember our company commander saying to us, you know, we're going to do our best to make you the best military person that we can, but you're never going to know what you're made of until the bullets start flying. Brothers and sisters, now is a time where we start finding what we're made of. Now is a time where we sit back and we look at the Word of God, perhaps in a slightly different light, because now times have changed. Just 1 week ago, Saturday night, we had a service, and it was open to everybody. At the end of that service, we had a request from the governor of the state of Iowa to limit gatherings no more than 250. So last Sunday, just 1 week ago, all of your elders and deacons and the people, staff, joined here together to intercede on behalf of our country, our community, and the world. Just 1 week ago. Well, now we're down to this place where no more gatherings of 10 or more, and we are just continually playing things by ear as situations arise. That's where we're at right now. But in that, I want to just kind of insert that there is so much opportunity. I want to tell you that I have witnessed our tech team and our praise team and the people of the way just rising up because they know that this is a pivotal moment. People are looking for answers and people are needing ministry. I've seen yesterday, I saw the Ark of the Way gathering together in groups 10 or less, but they had a drive-through giveaway, and the items they were giving, which by the way they planned to give before any of this started, was toilet paper, diapers, and wipes, and they gave away to over 75 kids. See, things are still going on. I can tell you stories of opportunities. They may not be quite as big. Now all the groups are a little bit smaller, but people are still available. to serve Jesus. And it's amazing. So I want to give you some words. I hope, hopefully it's encouraging for you today. But as I have prayed about, you know, where I was going to go, we've been following our lectionary as we've been kind of working through this season of Lent. But I'll be honest with you, I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to go in a different direction. We will go over a couple of scriptures. So if you've been following along with that, we're going to go a little bit of a detour here this morning. I feel like this is where God wants to take us. But as I was praying about this situation, what God wanted to do, I felt like one of the things they laid on my heart is now is the time to be a good soldier of Christ. Now is a time. And a soldier's mindset. So let me remind us what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Paul says to, he's writing this letter to Timothy, but in his letter, he says, endure suffering, trials, tribulation, whatever expression you want to use, but suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He goes on to say in verse 4, soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. For then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And I was thinking about just so much and the mindset of people that are in the military. And I'm thinking that there just has to be this grit right now. I don't know where we're going to go from here. I don't know how bad it's going to get. I don't know if they're going to come out fairly soon with an order to say, hey, get back to your regular routines. I do know this, that this is a great opportunity as a soldier of Christ to be changing the ways that we do things. And so as we kind of dive into that mindset, I wanted to share a couple things with you. First of all, I wanted to read an excerpt for you from a message that Charles Spurgeon gave, and he gave it in 1870. Kind of an interesting time if you think about it historically. But he talks about being a good soldier for Christ, and I want to read for you. He says, for what is a soldier? He says, a soldier is a practical man who has work to do, and hard, stern work. He may sometimes, when he's at ease, wear the fineries of war, but when it comes to real warfare, he cares very little enough for them. The dust and the smoke and the garments, rolled in blood, these are for those who go soldiering. All swords are hacked and dented armor and bruised shields. These are the things that mark the good, the practical soldier. Truly to serve God, really to exhibit Christian graces, fully to achieve a life work for Christ, actually to win souls, this is to bear fruit worthy of a Christian. A soldier is a man of deeds and not of words. He has to contend and fight. In war times, his life knows little of luxurious ease. In the dead of night, perhaps the trumpet sounds to boot and saddle just at the time when he is most weary, and he must hurry to the attack just when he would best prefer to take his rest and sleep. The Christian is a soldier in an enemy's country, always needing to stand on his watchtower, constantly to be contending, though not with flesh and blood, with far worse foes, namely with spiritual wickedness in high places. The Christian is a self-sacrificing person, as the soldier must be. To protect their country, the soldier must expose their own bosom. To serve their king, they must be ready to lay down their lives. Surely, he is no Christian who never felt the spirit of self-sacrifice. If I live unto myself, I'm living unto the flesh, and of the flesh I shall reap corruption. Only they who lives to his God, to Christ, to the truth of God, to the church, and to the good old cause, only he is the man who can reckon himself at all to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier is a serving man. He does not follow his own pleasure. He's under law and rule. Each hour of the day has its prescribed duty. And he must be obedient to the word of another and not to his own will and whim. Such is the Christian. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, though no longer the slaves of man, so as to dread his frown. We are servants of Christ, who has loosed our bonds. The soldier is full often a suffering man, and so is a Christian. These are mindsets. This is a mindset. As you look at situations, how you perceive them has everything to do with your mindset. You know, a good soldier can adapt, overcome, can roll with the punches while yet maintaining their mission and not being distracted, not being discouraged, and not being thrown off course. That's the way we need to be right now. The mission hasn't changed. The human condition hasn't changed. Unique circumstances, schedules, toilet paper inventories have changed, but not the human condition. It's just now all of a sudden everything's become real. And we need to rise up as a people. I was thinking, of course, I was not a soldier. I was a sailor. And then the Coast Guard, they have a creed. And I pulled up that creed, and I wanted to read it for you, but I wanted to change some of the... So there, it talks about being a Coast Guardsman, and it talks about the United States military, and I wanted to change that for a Christian purpose. And I wanted to read that for you. And... this is kind of inspiring to me, but it says, I am proud to be a follower of Jesus. I revere that long line of dedicated believers who, by their devotion to duty and sacrifice of self, have made it possible for me to be a member of the body of Christ, honored and respected in peace and war throughout the world. I never, by word or deed, will bring reproach upon the fair name of my Lord, nor permit others to do so unchallenged. I will cheerfully and willingly obey the Holy Spirit. I will always be on time to relieve, and shall endeavor to do more rather than less than my share. I will always be at my station, alert and attending to my duties. I shall, so far as I'm able, bring to my leaders solutions and not problems. I shall live joyously, but always with due regard for the rights and privileges of others. I shall endeavor to be a model citizen of heaven in the community in which I live. I shall sell life dearly to an enemy of my king, but give it freely to rescue those in peril. With God's help, I shall endeavor to be one of his noblest works, a follower of Jesus. These are powerful words, and they're inspiring words, and it helps us get the right perspective that we have. I want to, as I was praying through this, I want to take you to Romans chapter 12, because I think in this, as Paul is writing to the church in Rome, I think that we get a perspective and almost a blueprint for the process of kind of putting on that mindset of a soldier. And so, in Romans 12, starting with verse 1, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you." It says, "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." This is truly the way to worship him. We are bombarded with images of people that are being self-serving, they're being greedy. And you want to see acts of heroism now? Selfless acts. People that think less of themselves and are willing to step into places where people have needs. It's not about self-preservation. You'll never put on the mindset of a soldier or a sailor, somebody that you're called to be in the name of Jesus, you'll never put that on if your primary concern is self-preservation. Never. It's about sacrifice. It's about obedience to Christ. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he'll find acceptable. This is the way to worship him. He goes on to say in verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Don't get caught up in the herd. You know, granted, my life isn't affected by little ones at home anymore. My daughter, my oldest daughter is married, and my other boys are in college, and they have their own places, so they're still there, and they're taking online classes. But I was struck by the fact that for me and my wife, our schedule really hasn't changed. Now, I know for a lot of you it has, and I know that there's families and there's kids. I understand that. But for me, my schedule hasn't changed. But you know what's interesting about that is that's actually not copying the customs and the ways of the world right now, because for a lot of people, they're all changing who they are. They're doing things, perhaps, that they shouldn't have been doing. They're doing things that they really don't need to do. But everybody else is doing it. So therefore, they're going to do it. What we need right now are people that live with faith and don't get caught up in the trends of people around them, the hysteria of people around them, people that can be compliant and submitted, but yet not swept up in what's going on around us. He says that when you don't do that and you allow God to transform you into a new person, he does it by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I just want to share with you that you got to be careful of the news that you're watching right now. You got to be careful of the rumors that are out there. It's okay to discuss them, but if all these things are making you anxious and nervous, deal in the facts. Deal in what's verified and what's true. Don't go crazy for rumors right now. Even if rumors come to pass, so what? Take them as they become facts. Take them as they're true. There's so many rumors out there swirling around. It's kind of crazy. It almost gets you to the point where you just kind of shut down. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to wake up, and I'm going to pull up the news, and I'm going to read what is true for today, and that's how I'm going to live. He goes on to say, because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. This is a selfishness issue. This is a self-righteousness issue. Now is the time to turn to Christ. Now is the time to acknowledge our dependence on him. And that's okay. It's all right. If I lose my independence and that increases my dependence on the Lord, that's going to be bad for me, for Steve Harima, but it's going to be good, ultimately, for my soul. A little increased dependence on the Lord is a good thing. It says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. That has not changed. We're still all a part of the same body. So even as you sit there, if you feel isolated, if you feel disconnected, you have to know in the name of Jesus, by the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, we're still connected. We all belong to each other. I would urge you that one of the things that I love and that I'm not surprised by in the least is there is so much innovation and creativity and ingenuity that's going on right now amongst the church. I love what people are doing. I'm seeing, videos. I'm seeing, ideas that people are doing right now that are emerging as ways to be the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you, I love the people here at The Way, the leadership, the staff, even the volunteers. They're dedicated. They're dedicated to being their body part, which is very inspiring. But it's also, they know that we all belong to each other. It goes on, it says in verse 6, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Share that. It says that, it goes on to say that if your gift is serving others, serve them well. You've got great opportunities to serve people right now. Fantastic opportunities. I already told you about the ark. I'll tell you another story, and I don't want to embarrass her, but I don't want to say I'm proud of her, because proud isn't the righteous expression. But I am proud of my daughter, and I love her tremendously. And she told me a story, and I wanted to share it with you, not to like tout her horn, but maybe to inspire you with ideas. But she was telling me a story about how one day, so obviously she lives in Baltimore, and they're having the same issues everybody else is having. And one day, early in the morning, her husband went out, and he went to the store. And the big thing there that's missing is bread. He went early enough, they had just restocked the shelves, and there was bread on the shelves, limited amount of bread. And so he bought two loaves of bread. Not a cart full, just two loaves. And they brought it home, and they got to talking, and she said, really, I don't know that we need two loaves of bread. And he said, perhaps we'll have an opportunity to do something with it. And that day, later that day, she was taking her granddaughter out for a walk, getting outside, getting fresh air, and going out there. And her neighbor had just gotten home. He was unloading some groceries. He has a 93-year-old mother that lives with him. And she got to talking. And he said, you just got back from the store. And he said, yeah, but the one thing I went to the store to find, they didn't have. And she said, what is that? And he said, bread. And so she went home, she talked to her husband, said, let's give this loaf of bread. We only need one, let's give it to them. So she put it on his porch and put a note on it and said, we have an extra loaf of bread and we believe God wants us to give this to you. God bless you. And she received a phone call later from the man in tears saying thank you. You see, heroism, it looks different now, doesn't it? Don't have to, we kind of have these big ideas. Well, I have to do something big. You know what? No, you don't. Maybe somebody needs bread. Maybe somebody needs a roll of toilet paper. Whatever it is. And we can serve each other. If your gift is serving others, don't be surprised when God gives you ideas on how to do it. Be ready to do it. If you're a teacher, teach well. I'm seeing people putting out commentary. I'm seeing people sharing scriptures right now. Keep it up. It's wonderful. You scan through social media. Not that I spend a ton of time doing that, but when I do that, I notice there is a lot of encouraging words out there. That's good. I encourage you to do that. Which takes me to verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If you have in you to lift people up, I'll tell you what, people are feeling low right now. They're a little nervous, they're anxious, they're scared in many respects, and now is a time to be an encourager. If it is to give generously. I would urge you that if you're a person who's saved, and you have the ability to do so, now is the time to be generous financially. I read an article the other day where somebody went through a drive-thru and left a massive tip to bless the people that worked at a restaurant. Now is the time to support local business, to do all of these things. You're watching this and your church doesn't have a live stream option, and maybe you're tuning into this for whatever reason, know that your church is still trying to serve the Lord. And a lot of things aren't free. You need to pray about supporting that. Now is not the time to be greedy. Now is the time to be faithful. None of that has changed. It says if God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. I want to urge you, instead of leadership, put in the word influence. If God has granted you influence, take that very seriously. People need good leaders right now, good influencers that are influencing for all the right reasons, because there's an awful lot of leaders right now that don't know what to do. There's a lot of people that perhaps that were in leadership for themselves. Now is the time to be selfless and serving leaders, influencers, and trying to help people where they're at. Sometimes it's just a matter of using your influence to help organize things, perhaps, or whatever it is, change a tone in a circumstance. Share with people the good news of Jesus Christ as influencers. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. Don't use your influence tear down, use it to build up. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. It goes on, verse 9, it says, don't pretend to love others. Them. The word pretend, act. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Now is the time to truly love people. You see, one of the things about love is that there's a limit to it. It's like I can do things for people as long as I get some gratification from it, or maybe it benefits me in some way. Sacrificial love says no. I'll just do it. I think you can be a hero. If everybody else is being self-serving and everybody else is being so self-centered, now, all you have to do is be selfless, and you can be a hero in any circumstance. Hate what is good, hold tightly to what is good. Now is the time to be disciplined. Don't let yourself give in to temptation now. Be steadfast. Be disciplined. Now is not the time to compromise your virtues. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Trying to watch the tone. Just a month ago, it was brutal. The polarization of the parties and the dialogue that was going on, the narrative that was out there. A lot of it has changed, not all of it, but a lot of it has changed, and people are starting to honor other people, encouraging other people, and talking differently. Of course, the press is still doing what the press does, but what are the people doing? The people are trying to be positive. They're trying to build each other up. It says, again, delight and honor each other. Verse 11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I love, if you have your notes at the bottom, there's a couple variations of this verse. One, in verse 11, it says, but serve the Lord with a zealous spirit. Or another version might say, but let the Spirit excite you as you serve the Lord. There's something about being in that moment and in that battle that's exhilarating. Be excited about it. Rejoice. Verse 12, rejoice in our confident hope. Rejoice in our confident hope. That hasn't changed. We have a hope that transcends circumstances. We have a hope that is eternal. As Jesus died on the cross to set us free forever. Not just now and then or when circumstances are awesome. It's forever. It's an eternal thing. The world can't touch us. We have an eternal destination. And none of that has changed. Not any of it. It says, be patient in trouble. Be patient in trouble and keep praying. Oh, wow, there's a coffee cup verse right now. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Never cease. God's people are in need. Be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Always be ready. There may come a moment in the future. I don't know. One of the things that's kind of fascinating about where we're at is what we're doing right now is actually something that we were planning on doing in the near future. As part of multiplication, as a part of, as we move into that season, I've been talking to you about it here at The Way. We are being called by God to start planting churches and to multiply. Well, isn't that interesting? Here we are. There might come a day in the future where what you're doing right now is a church. Might come a time in the future where you start inviting people from your neighborhoods to worship in your home, and maybe we still broadcast a service, and you gather around the service, you watch it, you worship with the music, and then you have fellowship with the people practicing hospitality. Maybe. It goes on to say, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep. Translation, be genuine, but be genuinely good. Try to be excited for people. And I sat there, it's kind of interesting. This is a bit of a joke, but it's hard to tell a joke when there's nobody in the room. So it's a little bit of a joke. But I've thought to myself, so the other day, Vicky went out and she found toilet paper at Dollar General. Now, it was generic, low grade, but it's better than nothing, right? It's better than nothing, of course. But it's kind of funny because I joke around about this. And I said, so I have this really interesting relationship right now with all those of you that are sitting on cases of Quilted Charmin. On the one hand, I resent you. But on the other hand, I rejoice for you. But this is kind of that situation. I don't curse you. I pray that you're blessed by that. And I know that eventually you'll get around to using that, I'm sure. But it's kind of an interesting moment. Everybody's responding in their own unique way right now. I would tell you that try not to be selfish. He goes on, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Be genuine. Be in the moment. Live in harmony with each other. The word harmony, it's that melodious, it's like this idea. You saw our praise team and you heard the singers singing in harmony. You hear music when it all blends together. All these different pieces, whether it be the singing, the musical, all the different levels blending together, that's harmony. We have a great opportunity to be harmonious right now as the body of Christ, everybody living out according to their gifts, being the part that God has made them, and yet in a way being apart, but being together. It says that don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can hear you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Don't let this get the best of you. Don't be somebody down the line, once this is over, don't be a person that can't look themselves in the eye, in the mirror, because they feel ashamed of the way they acted. Be a person who rises up, and in moments like these, you helped make it better rather than made it worse. Be a person that entered into this situation and emerged better. Be a person that still grew during these times. Be a family that bonded during these times. Be a couple who have this battle-hardened relationship together. Take everything in your life right now. It's all under fire. And use it as a refining fire to get stronger, to be better. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. You need to know that there is more to you than you think there is. And you can do it. You can overcome in the name of Jesus. I want to take you to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a very, very common psalm. This was actually in our lectionary for today, for this Sunday in Lent. And I told you that as we do this, we're always going to share a psalm with you. And this week it came up, Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, again, very, very common psalm. Matter of fact, I'm sure a lot of you can recite the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd, whom I shall not want. We're going to come at it from a slightly, we do the New Living Translation here. We have a slightly more contemporary take on it. But listen to the words of the Lord and tell me that it doesn't have slightly different meaning right now. Hear this. The words will be on the screen, and you're welcome to read along. Or you could actually close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just listen to these words. Here's the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I go to the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Don't let the evil one take your eyes off that reality. Don't let the press give you rumors and give you news that takes you away from the facts. The fact is, in the name of Jesus, when you know him, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Despite what circumstances throw at you, despite what happens next, whatever it is, I'm still dwelling in the house of the Lord. I'm still trusting him. And I know that he is right beside me as I walk through the darkest valley. And he's with you too. He's with all of us. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, I just come before you, Lord, and I just continue this prayer that, Lord, you would supernaturally mobilize and bless your church. Lord, I pray for people out there right now that may be listening to this that don't know you personally. Lord, I pray that today would be a day of salvation for them. All that a person has to do is call on you as their Lord, surrender their lives to you, cry out to you in prayer, and you will hear them. You will be beside them, and you will guide them through the darkest valleys. Lord, we need your strength. We need your presence. Holy Spirit, we need your power. Fill us, Lord. Unite us. Sanctify us and guide us. Lord, I pray for families in their homes. I pray for, in your name, Jesus, I want to pray for our finances right now. I want to pray for marriages right now. Would you bless them? In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray for our doctors. I pray for our nurses and our healthcare professionals, Lord. Would you bless them in your name, Jesus? Lord, I pray for our police officers. I pray for our firefighters, our EMTs, all of emergency responders. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them all in the powerful name of Jesus. Help them, Lord. Protect them. Lord, I pray for your church. Lord, unite it in powerful ways. Empower it to do your will and glory. So, Lord, we do pray against this virus in your name, Jesus. We do pray that its spread would end in your name, Jesus. We pray that the works of this virus would end in the name of Jesus. And we just pray that your will would be done and that your kingdom would come. All in your powerful name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Small team for what we did today. I want to urge you, I want you to know we're doing everything we can to serve you during this time. Be aware that Nicole is trying real hard to communicate with you. Be aware that the praise and worship team is trying real hard to present something to you that will bless you as much as it can. We're here. We haven't gone anywhere. We're just trying to find a way to serve Jesus in a time where we're being asked to not gather in big groups. So we just want you to know, I want to reiterate what Nicole said during announcements. We actually have a rush page for all you families with little kids. And I know that Jesse and Alicia, they created these activity bags, and they're going to continue to do things like that. So stay tuned, stay plugged in. When we send you emails or we post videos, there's like real good information in there. Just want to urge you to check that out over the, I don't know, days, weeks, whatever ahead. We're all in this together. Be praying for you. We're constantly praying for you. Please, as you watch this, would you pray for us? Because, again, we're all part of the same body. I'm going to bless you now. I'm going to do the benediction and praise you. And I tell you what, if you're at home and you want to stand and receive this, or you can stay wherever you're at. But I pray that you, right now, you and your family, all those present, I pray that in these moments, that you know the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit now and always. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day and have a good week. We'll be in touch.